Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Stacey Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
What an absolute delight to be joined by the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. That is Caleb Williams. How has this thing been going for you, Caleb?
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Former WNBA star.
And the ball stolen away. Didn't see her coming, and Perkins gets the clean steal. Over to Dales, easy land. Stacey Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacey Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do the Score radio, a little plug there.
Sure.
Every
670.
Week.
Shout out to the host.
This has been an emotional freaking roller coaster, you guys.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully out today. He's under the weather. Joined now by Stacey Dales. And Stacey, like all of our guests, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Stacey. How are you?
Well, how are you today?
Doing okay. Yeah, we're talking Bears, talking Packers, talking Vikings, Lions, NFC North. You were there last week. Before
yeah,
we get
sure.
to your experience at Lambeau, when the Lions made a statement, I'm just curious. We heard coming in you talking to Caleb Williams, and I think the last time you spoke to him was at the game in London. Seems like a long time ago, Stacey, and a lot has changed since then. How surprised are you at the direction Caleb Williams and the Bears have gone the last 2 weeks since you saw them last?
I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised, David. And Mully, hope you're feeling better. For him to come out of the bye after that London game and, you know, to be standing there in London and watching, really, it felt like a breakthrough moment for the Bears offensively. I mean, to where they are now, he has not thrown a touchdown. He has a 49% completion percentage. He's averaging 4.5 sacks taken. He has an average of 174 pass yards per game since the bye, a 65 passer rating. There is a complete disconnect between the offense and how it's being called. And I guess that's my takeaway. I mean, when I watched the game back yesterday, because I was in Green Bay for, you know, what was a very interesting divisional game between the Lions and Packers on Sunday, I sent a couple of clips to, you know, analysts that I trust, and just to break down what I saw and to make sure I wasn't crazy. There's precision on routes isn't there. Timing on routes isn't there. Concepts are odd. And then when I look at, you know, back at the game and watched it, and to see a guy in Cole Kmet, and now I understand the offensive line is banged up, so you're going to have your tight ends involved in pass pro and, you know, what have you. But for Cole Kmet, who to me is one of the best tight ends in the game, to not get a single target against Arizona is perplexing, to say the least.
It really is. And there hasn't been a acceptable explanation yet. And it's a combination of play calling, lack of protection, and you have to also include Caleb Williams in there in terms of responsibility. Stacey, it's just been 2 weeks of really baffling questions about football logic and then football decorum. Last week, it was Tyreek Stevenson turning his back to the proceedings for 4 seconds. This week, there's that odd video circulating about DJ Moore running off the field we've been talking a lot about. Chris Long on the Greenlight podcast addressed it about how, you know, it looks like there's a problem with communication and frustration with DJ Moore. And a lot of people have broken it down like it's the Zapruder film. What did you see and how would you explain it?
Yeah, well, when I, first of all, I'd never seen that happen before. When I watched it and I like kind of looked at it in slow motion, I think something like physically was not right with him. And I think he had a little hitch and he walked off. I'm not sure why. If it was like an injury, like what I saw was there was a tweak in something in his body. And I think that's what we're going to learn today. But why not just go down on the field, right? Like if you tweak something, just drop. I don't know. I do know that he's having a career worst season right now in Chicago. Like this is the worst statistical season that he's ever had to this stage. So, you know, there's probably some mounting frustrations with him. However, it looked like some sort of a tweak. And so I don't know until we hear from him and until we hear from the staff. But I don't know what to expect at this point because the accountability, like when we talked about, you know, going for it with, you know, Kramer on a third and two, whatever that was, or a third and goal last week in the Hail Mary game, Shane said he would call the same play again. So I don't know what kind of accountability we're going to get this week. I really don't. I'm perplexed. I think that's the word that kind of when I look at the Bears, I just feel very perplexed about what to expect.
This segment with Stacey Dales is brought to you by McGrath Acura in Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath. Perplexing is a good word. I do think a lot of people understand and feel the same way, especially about a defense that was dominated on the ground by the Cardinals, who didn't necessarily come in as a team you feared would run it down your throats and keep running it down your throats until you stopped them. The Bears never did. Was that just because Montez Sweat wasn't there? Can it, one guy be that valuable to a defense? What happened?
It's a great question. When you look at what Arizona did, you're talking about 213 net rushing yards by them. Montez Sweat, you know, obviously has proved to be a staple in everything the Bears do. I mean, teams have to scheme around him. But I really feel like going into this thing and when I watched, like just even the first quarter, you know, the Bears can't score to start a game. Like that is, again, a disconnect with what is being drawn up offensively and what the quarterback likes. Like I said this last week, offensively, David, you know, what does your quarterback want? What does he want? Does he want to hand the ball off to an offensive lineman on a third and goal with 6 minutes in a game? Is that what he wants? Is that putting him in the best position for success? And then defensively, with the Tyreek Stevenson situation, like they just didn't, to me, the Bears didn't look like themselves defensively. They just didn't. And so, you know, my concern is, and how many meetings have they had? How many meetings have the Bears had? How many players' meetings have the Bears had? What are they keeping in-house versus letting out of the house right now? Like, there's something that's not right. There's something that's off. And so I can't boil it down to Montez Sweat to answer your question. I can't boil it down to, you know, they're not committed to stopping the run. This is a really good defense. They're one of the best defenses in the NFL. They're a top five scoring defense. They keep people out of the end zone. And they've got a bevy of injuries right now. Like today is a hard one just because I don't know. I really don't know you know, between leaks from the locker room. Like, we heard the leak about Tyreek Stevenson, you know, what was it? Like, he wasn't going to be a starter in practice, so he didn't want to practice. Like, what is going on? I don't know. I think we're all kind of puzzled at this point by it all.
Yeah, I think so, because you have Matt Eberflus and the hits principle, and you have Ryan Poles and the culture he wants to create, and you have a team that is betraying those principles on a weekly basis. In the last 2 weeks, yeah, it's exacerbated, and you see a team that seems to be unraveling, and I don't know where it stops, but the Bears are 4-4. They're playing the worst team in the league on Sunday, yeah, at home. This should not be anything but an invitation to improve a get-well game and the kind of thing you take into your division portion of your schedule with a little momentum that was somehow, between the time they left Heathrow Airport and landed at O'Hare, they lost momentum.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, the fact that the Patriots are currently holding the number one pick in the 2025 draft should be every indication that this should be a Bears victory on Sunday. I mean, with Drake May, there's just, they've had a bevy of issues themselves. Yeah, this should be a victory for the Bears Sunday. And if it's not, if it's everything that I watch offensively, is it's so difficult. And one of the plays that I watched in the first quarter was a kind of a bunch formation with the receivers, like the best, their best receivers. I think it was DJ. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was DJ, Rome, and Keenan. And the layers of the routes, the where the routes were run, where the ball was thrown. You know, I just don't feel it. Nothing feels comfortable when I watch. That's kind of the best. And like, I just, like, you just hope for accountability. Like, is Shane Waldron actually going to run a play to Doug Kramer again? Like, is he going to do that again? Because he said he was going to last week.
He should not. They should rip that page out of the playbook.
But he said he was willing to run that play again.
I know. But it doesn't make any sense. That's perplexing.
It's like running an alley-oop when you don't have anybody that can throw the alley-oop and actually, you know,
dunk,
catch it in air, in stride, and actually dunk it. Like, I don't know. You know, I'm confused. I'm very confused. And I think that Bears fans are smart. I mean, my phone was getting blown up. I'm sitting in the press box in Green Bay watching the Lions smother the Packers, and my phone's getting blown up about what's happening in Arizona with the Bears. Like, I think if you're accountable and you can, I just think there's a disconnect. I really do. I think there's a disconnect with what's happening, and maybe it'll change on Sunday. I don't know.
So you mentioned Lambeau. You were there, Lions and Packers. The Lions made a statement. They were dominant. And I wonder if the rich got richer yesterday with Za'Darius Smith joining the team in the pass rush, replacing Aiden Hutchinson. Good trade for the Lions.
Yes.
What was your biggest takeaway from that game, and how good did they become by adding Smith?
My takeaway was the Detroit Lions are really good. They're a really good football team. And because Green Bay is really good. And now Green Bay hasn't had the best pass rush that, you know, we sort of anticipated. And they do a lot of different things. So I think that can be, you know, I think when you look at coordinators and how they draw up pressure, I think Jeff Hafley is a, you know, he kind of does things in different ways to confuse quarterbacks. So I don't get too caught up in lack of sack numbers or what have you, but then, like, getting rid of Preston Smith, who's a really good edge rusher, was interesting to me. But when I look at Detroit, David, they're very complete. They believe they are. They think they're complete in all three phases. And, you know, when you look at teams over the years, like, what was it when Aaron Rodgers in his last couple years, you know, in Green Bay with all the success and his MVP, you know, runs, it was special teams. Like, their special teams sucked in Green Bay. Well, when I look at the Lions, they're really good on special teams. Coach Phipp does a great job. I think that they've answered some things without Aiden Hutchinson, and they're not getting, like Green Bay, some of the sack numbers they want. But Aaron Glenn is coaching his tail off defensively. Offensively, they're the best offense in football. So adding Za'Darius Smith to me, he's going to be the best pass rusher in football now. Like, I think he's going to go on a sack run, and I think that they're going to use him in some ways that's really exciting. And he loves, like, Za'Darius is an interesting guy. Like, he just loves the moment, right? He loves a stage. I think he's going to go off. I really do. I think he's going to go off in their defense. Nobody can rush the passer like him on that defense. And I think that now they just got themselves like a little golden chip in getting him.
If we agree that the Lions are the class of the division and maybe the Bears are struggling more than anybody else in the NFC North, who's better between the Packers and the Vikings right now?
It's a good question. I don't think Jordan Love's been healthy this year. I really just don't. He had the knee injury early. I don't think he should have played. Now they're on the bye this week, David, but I really don't think Jordan should have played this week, that past weekend. I think they should have run with Malik Willis. If he gets healthy, I think that Packers, I would go Packers. I really think the defense is excellent in Minnesota, but I just think that Matt LaFleur is going to get this offense up and rolling when Jordan Love's healthy.
So this weekend, the Bears, as we said, play the Patriots. We just went through an exercise in comparing and contrasting Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. And frankly, Jaden Daniels is having a much better year. Caleb Williams has more off-target throws than any quarterback in the NFL right now with 58, nine more last Sunday. That's the latest statistic to look at how damning, or the evidence that's damning in his rookie year. But there have been some good moments. If you look at him compared to Drake May on Sunday, it's rookie versus rookie. How can Caleb Williams turn his season around?
It's very interesting because I just think he has to get on the same page as the play caller. If Shane Waldron's the play caller, like, I don't know what the identity is. I really don't. Like, sometimes they run it, sometimes they throw it. But Caleb Williams right now has a 24 passer rating on deep passes. 24 passer rating on deep passes. It's the second lowest in a season in the next gen stat era. I read that stat yesterday and I was like, what, like, so what does that mean, right? Like, 14% of his pass attempts have been 20 plus air yards. So he's not throwing it downfield a whole lot. But then is he? Like, that's the third highest in the NFL. So why is he throwing it downfield? Like, if there's that much of a disconnect and divide, like, again, I went back and watched the game yesterday, David. He had an underneath to Cole Kmet and he opted to throw it on one of those 20-plus air yard throws, and it was an incompletion. Like, what is the disconnect between he and is he doing some of the things he wants to do in the offense? I don't know. Because what I hear publicly is that Shane Waldron's going to run the ball with Doug Kramer again. So I don't root for anybody in the league. I am very unbiased in how I approach the game because I cover all 32 at any given moment. But I do feel like I cover the Bears a lot, and I hear fans, and I'm in Chicago. I live here. What is Shane Waldron doing?
It's a fair question.
When you don't take accountability for a third and goal, and you're going to run that play again, like, let's run it against the Patriots. Go for it. Let's make it work. I feel a bit of frustration for Bears fans because I don't understand how you don't think that was a good play call. And so when you're willing to say you're going to run that play again, what are you doing on the rest of the rest of your offense? Because in Arizona, I mean, the Bears have 10 points in the first quarter this season. 10. Or is that right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No.
They have 10 first quarter points.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And that this was after when I'm in London, I had a conversation on the field with somebody with the Bears who said to me, "We're all still learning this thing. We're learning every week as we go about not having a first 15." Now, when that happened in London, right, David? Mm-hmm. When I brought that to your attention, I was still learning about it. Like when we had the conversation with you and Mully, and they didn't have a first 15, and it was a suggestion by Mercedes Lewis. I had a conversation on Sunday before the game with somebody with the Bears. Like, and the genesis of it was, we're all still learning as we go through this thing. Every week is a new, like, mm-hmm. we're learning stuff. I have never known an NFL team to not have a first 15. Now, everybody does things differently. And I'm not trying to... Shane is a lovely guy. Like, I don't have... Like, inventing football to me isn't what I would want to do as a play caller. I just want to know what my quarterback can do.
And play to those strengths.
Yeah. I've had this conversation with Kurt Warner. I bug him about information. Like, I will send him clips. I will annoy him because I want to know from a Hall of Fame quarterback, like, what this means or what that means, what this route means and what this wrinkle means. And like one of the things Kurt has taught me is you have to look at your quarterback and ask him, what can't you do? Because once I know that, like, what you can't do, now I can create some things offensively because I understand what you actually can do. And that you start right there. And so, like, what can't Caleb Williams do? Or what is he not comfortable with as a rookie? Well, I would say handing a ball off to an offensive lineman is probably not something he's ever done.
No, I bet
so
you're
not. I'm not going to do that.
Right. Unplug the mini fridge. Yeah, I'm with you, Stacey. Great stuff. Really appreciate your insight. And keep the pressure on.
I listen, David, I mean, I just want it to be easy for the Bears.
Good stuff.
So, Stacey
Dales,
see you Sunday.
From the NFL Network. We will see you Sunday, Bears-Patriots at Soldier Field. And later next week, next Monday, you can join Dave Wanstead and Mark Grody live at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo for the Four Winds Football Forecast. The event is free to the public. Starts at 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central. Wani will be giving a midseason review and forecast for the rest of the season. Plus, you can get an autograph and photo with Coach Wanstead or Mark Grody before the Monday night football game. That's next Monday, November 11th at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Score. Based on real-time market sentiment. This event contract is offered by Robinhood Derivatives, a registered futures commission merchant and swap firm. Exchange and regulatory fees apply. Learn more at Robinhood.com/election.
Mully and Haw Flashback.
Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
Has Matt Eberflus lost his football team?
I want to say no. The message yesterday was that we know we 4-4 now. It's just like being 0-0. But you just got to go out there and start stacking wins how we did. And that's the best thing we can do is win and then let the chips fall how they fall after we do so.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully out today sick. And hopefully you have enjoyed talking sports this morning. We are here for you, and we are talking Bears for a lot. We talked baseball. We talked hockey. We talked a little bit about everything And, of course, we talked about DJ Moore. You heard him coming into the segment now. Again, that was Monday morning. I asked DJ Moore if Matt Eberflus had lost the team. I want to say no. That answer has been picked apart, dissected, and analyzed. Just as DJ Moore's video clip of him running off the field for reasons that escape me. But we'll learn more today, later. Ideally, we will learn more when DJ Moore addresses the media at Hallis Hall. He typically speaks on a Wednesday after Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams will have some interesting questions to answer as well. I think the relationship and rapport between them is fair game and a big problem. And it doesn't even involve having to read body language to call it a big problem. You know what tells me it's a big problem? The numbers, not the nuance. The numbers, they're bad. Caleb's overthrowing receivers. DJ Moore's numbers are down. The offensive play calling makes no sense at all. Stacey Dales, how about her on the muscle with Shane Waldron? I think it's fair, though. It's more than perplexing. It's irritating when you see time and again doubling down on the commitment to handing the ball to Doug Kramer. He'd do it again, would he? Will he? Oh, my gosh. If they're leading the Patriots by 10 points in the fourth quarter or third quarter Sunday and they're inside the five-yard line and Doug Kramer checks into the game, that will be an interesting conversation. If I were the Bears, I would just let it go forever. Don't remind people of your own incompetence. So will they do that? I don't know. We'll see. What else did we learn today? It's good. Thank you for asking. I think we learned that Matt Eberflus has two more years left on his contract. Brad Biggs reported that in the Chicago Tribune. You got to read the mailbag, people. The mailbag's full of goodies. It's always full of goodies.
I keep it real.
Keep it real. Biggsy keeps it real. And real talk, Flus's got two more years. That's about $9 million.
Real talk. Real talk.
I love having these make-believe conversations with Brad. He doesn't yell at me in these make-believe conversations or mock me.
No sighing.
No sighing. No, like, oh, God, again. Biggsy with the information that you can trust. Trust me that he's trustworthy. I think by now you don't need to be told that either. So he reported in the Tribune that Matt Eberflus has two more years left on his deal. It's a five-year contract. You can debate the merits of that, but at the time, let's go back, there were reasons why a new coach, even a first-time head coach, would receive a five-year contract. That's usually the standard length. Ted Phillips was in charge at the time. Maybe Ted was feeling like, okay, let's just get this over with because I want to get out. But Ted Phillips agreed to a five-year deal. It was definitely marketplace value for a first-year head coach, first-time head coach, and Matt Eberflus is on the hook for two more years, or the Bears have to pay him if they fire him for two more seasons. So take that into consideration when we're having the conversation that will be ongoing about the future of Matt Eberflus. We also learned that Dustin thinks that Ryan Poles may have sat out the trade deadline and stood pat because he's looking ahead to 2025 already. 2024 kaput. And if it wasn't kaput, you'd go out and get somebody. They did nothing. They traded. They were sellers. They weren't buyers. I don't know what you would have bought. I know that there was nothing available on the offensive line market necessarily that we're aware of after Cam Robinson went to the Vikings. The better question might be, why did the Vikings beat everybody to Cam Robinson? Are they thinking Super Bowl? But what? So what? You needed a left tackle. You need a tackle. You need offensive line help. I know they don't. You can't just walk into the offensive line store, as Brad Biggs has said. But I do think it's fair to wonder why the Vikings beat everybody else to the punch and made a trade with the Jaguars that the Bears would have liked to have made. We heard Chris Long doesn't think too much about DJ Moore and Caleb Williams. That was really fascinating audio from the Greenlight podcast. Can we play that again just for emphasis? Do we have, in a moment, Chris Long, brother of Kyle, son of Howie, former NFL defensive end, well-respected and really good as an analyst, had this to say about DJ Moore.
If DJ Moore doesn't want to be there and he doesn't like the quarterback, who's going first? And I was pro Fields. I was the one that was like, keep Fields. But if this is what we're doing, and I felt like maybe DJ Moore was pro Fields, like reading between the lines last year, right? Then here's the door, dude. Like, they're having trouble getting him the ball anyways. It feels like Rome Odunze and him are on the best page out of three wide receivers. And by the way, this is from Rich Habar. Highest inaccurate target rates for players with 25-plus targets. Odunze's number 6, Keenan Allen's number 8, DJ Moore's number 10. Mm. You're not even getting missed the most out of the three of y'all. How are you the one walking off the field?
That was Chris Long on the Greenlight Podcast. Ex-players can be more critical of current players than guys like us can be, because I think it carries a little bit more weight. That was pretty harsh. And I do think that the difference, there's a couple differences between what DJ Moore is being accused of doing or alleged to have done in running out of bounds and staying there than what Tyreek Stevenson did. I think, number one, it could be potentially more damning because it was a captain who's being questioned here, a leader who's a consummate pro and known for his professionalism. Whereas with Tyreek Stevenson, second-year player prone to being undisciplined and a guy that would be much easier to accept if he were not on board, because he's still learning how to be a pro. So that doesn't mean you hold him any more or less accountable. I think if you are Matt Eberflus, you want to hold your leader accountable. So this team meeting that TJ Edwards brought up yesterday with the Midday Show, very interesting from the context of this. Did Matt Eberflus take that opportunity during a team meeting to present to the class, if you will, evidence that DJ Moore was a guy that probably shouldn't have done what he did? Curious. I'll be curious if that comes up. I'll be curious if anybody asks about that today at Hallis Hall. I would recommend asking about that today at Hallis Hall. I want to know if Matt Eberflus addressed the DJ Moore issue during the team meeting that TJ Edwards offered as evidence that this team is trying to come together. Are the Bears closer to coming together or falling apart? Look at the scoreboard. Look at the standings. I think the answer to that answers the question. All right, what else did we learn? Well, we learned something about, yes, there is a political result we have to discuss. We're not talking politics. We told you this was a safe space this morning until 10 o'clock at least. So yesterday, voters in parts of the 29th Ward, including portions of Austin, Galewood, and Montclair, they had a referendum on the ballot. We heard about this from former Governor Pat Quinn. And the ballot asked, and this is according to blockclubchicago.org, quote, shall the people of Chicago provide any taxpayer subsidy to the Chicago Bears to build a new stadium? According to the results, they're reporting that no garnered 79% of the referendum vote compared to 21, according to the Chicago Board of Elections. 79-21. Now, that's easy to understand. 80-20. Let's just round it off. 80-20. 8 out of every 10 people in Chicago will tell you that no, the people of Chicago and in the city should not provide any taxpayer subsidies to the Chicago Bears to build that new stadium, which would be in the South Lot. Not a shocker. I don't know if that's going to dissuade Kevin Warren at all. It doesn't have anything. It's a non-binding. So there's nothing like will happen as a result of that. It's just kind of the gauge where the public is. I don't know that I needed the referendum to tell me that, but it sure is good evidence. You add it to the pile and it's pretty high. It's a stack. It's not just like a speck. It's a stack. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that Chicago taxpayers want no part of subsidizing sports stadiums, whether it's south of Soldier Field for the Bears, or maybe even the 78 for the White Sox. Billionaires pay for your own buildings. That's a novel concept. But I think that is one you can't forget, and that's something that Pat Quinn predicted, and I think that's why he wanted to put it on the ballot in terms of a referendum. Will Kevin Warren get the message? I don't know. He needs to get several messages. I mean, where's the last time we heard from Kevin Warren? Have we heard from Kevin Warren since he last was seen posing with Lil Durk in London? I don't know that we have. I don't think he's been visible, vocal, things that we have seen him be often during his tenure. I'd like to hear from Kevin Warren on this, the referendum, on Lil Durk, the after he was essentially had federal charges brought against him for a murder for hire accusation, and he was brought to London as part of the Bears contingent and posed with pictures with Kevin Warren and Roger Goodell. Just curious, just make a statement. And it's something that is just bad optics right now. It's been a bad couple weeks for the Bears. They can start to get things headed in the right direction. Today is a big day at Halas. What does the injury report look like? Is Caleb Williams on it? Andrew Billings might be okay with the pec. That's what it seemed like TJ Edwards was suggesting yesterday. Maybe he'll be okay. What does that mean? Is it going to be extended? Montez Sweat, the extent of his injury, laceration on the shin. Is he going to play this week? They need him. I think everybody understood how badly they need him when the Cardinals ran all over the defense without him. So there's a lot to be learned today at Halas Hall and a lot to be said. Looking forward to hearing how Eberflus presents himself, what Caleb Williams has to say, and most notably, most importantly maybe, today, what DJ Moore has to say for himself. We'll look forward to that. As we look forward to the midday show, it is Dan, Marshall, and Layla. It's a Layla Wednesday. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.